Listen, I want you to remain in this attitude of worship, and I want you to meditate on what you hear right now. It was just a couple of days ago that we were on Mount Carmel, and we talked about there Elijah, seemingly alone, but Yahweh, God, behind him, as he challenged the prophets of Baal and the Ashtoreth. And it was the battle of the gods, as it were. And for Marty to sing that song, I Call You Friend. You know, I don't know. I can't tell from here what your belief or what your faith is. Maybe you're visiting tonight, or maybe you've just come here and you don't know what you've stepped into. But I would invite you tonight to consider who and what it is that you believe in. Because it comes down to, do you have the God who says to you, I call you friend? In the Bible, it's recorded, Jesus says, I call you friend. When we consider this week and as we look to this Resurrection Sunday coming, and as Marty correctly pointed out, that in Israel, this Monday, a few days ago, Passover celebration began. As we were in the hotels, as the hotels were getting ready for the rabbis to come and inspect the hotels and the kitchens for any leaven that might be around, they were preparing the kitchens for cleanliness, that there'll be no trace elements of leaven, a symbol, a type of sin. Busy. Some of the hotel personnel said, we really don't like this time of the year. It's very difficult for us. A lot of hard work. And my friend, our friend Amir, had commented, isn't it a shame that what should be a joyous time, the rules of men have made it a chore and a difficulty and a challenge. And I want you to think tonight, before we go into our next time of worship, that Jesus Christ, as we consider the theme beyond, love beyond, when we talk about our God, that Jesus Christ was the promised Passover. He was the Passover. We asked our friends this week in Israel who do not yet know the Lord, but they know the Word, but they don't know the Lord. We shared with one great brother, I say brother, I love him. He doesn't yet see. The veil is yet upon his eyes. But we shared with him as from the Scriptures that Jesus is the promised Passover. And we talked about how Abraham looked ahead by faith, right? We know that. Abraham looked ahead by faith at the coming of the Passover lamb. And you know that on Mount Moriah, he lived that act out prophetically with Isaac, his son. And we talk to our Hebrew friends, and they know the story. They know the account. They know the event. But what's awesome to realize is that Abraham, before circumcision, before the giving of the law, Abraham, frankly, by God, called out of Ur of the Chaldees. The first Jew was a Gentile. You ever think of that? Before the law, before circumcision. How did this happen? The Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, that the just shall live by faith. Does it not? The just shall live by faith. Do you have faith tonight in the one whom God had promised when Isaac was there just about to be seemingly sacrificed? The angel of the Lord stopped Abraham's hand and the word was given that the Lord Himself will provide the lamb. Think of it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year after year, think of it, can make those who approach perfect. For then there would not have been the ceasing of the offering, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Right now, our Jewish friends around the world are celebrating Passover, and yet there is no temple for them in their minds to go offer up a lamb. Think of the reality of it. They've got the information, they've got the model, they've got the word. They know that innocence must be offered up. They're going through the practice. But the substance, they don't have. It's all about family. It's all about coming together. It's a beautiful, awesome time of the year. Our dear friends are practicing Passover. School is out. Things are shut down. Everything is focused on this glorious time of the year in Israel, and for that matter, for Jews all around the world. Year after year they do this, but there's no temple and there's no animal sacrifice. But listen, even if there were a temple and even if there were animal sacrifices, the truth is the Lamb of God has come. Jesus has come. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or even a blood moon or a brown moon for that matter. I got up and I looked at it from my backyard and it was brown. But anyway, or Sabbaths, it says, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. This is how the just lives by faith. That tonight you would recognize tonight that the just, meaning justified. Isn't it amazing? Tonight we celebrate that you can be justified by faith in what? In whom? In the sacrificial lamb, as we'll hear later, that takes away the sins of the world. Marty said it a moment ago. Think of it. Honestly, really, do you believe really that either your good works and efforts can take away your sins? Honestly, come on. Do you honestly believe that some lamb or some goat or some turtle dove can be offered up before a priest and the blood of an animal could literally remove the sins of a human? Think of it. And the Bible says that all of those things that were happening before Christ came pointed to the fact that he would come. And Abraham was declared righteous by his faith in God. Now this is something to praise and to worship and to sing about. That this week, and who are we? Honestly. I think of myself. You think of yourself. Having just come from Israel, I look at the people. I look at what God is doing there. I see their passion. And they come all the way up unto the moment. We, Lisa and I, were sharing with a dear friend of ours, and we were marching through the Old Testament scriptures, and you got to hear this. And I'm wondering right now if he's not watching right now on his channel in Israel. And he's listening. And we're going through Genesis, and we're going through the Levitical offerings and what it's pointing toward, the blood, and we're looking at the lamb, and we're talking about Exodus, and we're looking at the prophets, we're speaking about Isaiah, we're looking at into Micah of where the Messiah would be born, and we read there in Psalm 2 and in Proverbs that God has a son. And we came to the punchline. And right before I had a chance to say it, Lisa shoulder hopped me and said, "What are you going to do about this information? What are you going to do?" And all along the way, he's going, "Yep, yeah, I know this. I've heard this. I got that. Yep, And then when it came right to the moment, right to, as it were, putting your foot in the Jordan or in the Red Sea, you could see the toe hovering over. You could see his heart. You could see it in his mind. He knew the truth from his prophets. And there was a pause, and he simply said, "If I had a chance to do it all over again, I would believe exactly as you believe now." And we said, "You do have a chance to believe again." And what about you tonight? Let's continue to worship the Lord. These songs we sing, make these words a praise, a offering. This is Resurrection Week. Christian, we could be imprisoned. We could be banished. We could be put in the gulags, or we could be locked up someplace. We could be put in a pit. Someone could take our lives, but they could never take away our salvation that is in Him. Let's worship Him. So this week in history, Jesus remarkably made His way day after day this week. He would present Himself to Israel. Having entered into the city, having come down that Mount of Olive path, the Palm Sunday path, for the first time in His earthly ministry, He presents Himself as King. And all along the way, all that transpired that week, which was necessary, questions were asked of Him. Things were demanded of Him. He was laid out, as it were, before the hierarchy, the leadership. And they challenged Him in all kinds of areas. At times, they even tried to trip Him up with trick questions. They hired false witnesses to try to condemn Him. What was going on? What's amazing is all the while that week, while Jesus was being examined and interviewed, as it were, and questioned, the priesthood of Israel, they were doing the same, actually. Josephus tells us that some 256,000 lambs were being inspected for the offering, for the people who had gathered. And what was the requirement? An unblemished lamb, right? Had to be perfect. So with all of the examination, now I don't know exactly what they did, but as they looked at each little lamb, they, I would imagine, checked the teeth, they checked the bones, they made sure there was no marks on that woolly little thing. It had to be perfect. And as they're going around, imagine they're going around and they're, you know, making sure there's not a bone broken and nothing is out of place. I would imagine, I guess, I would think, you know how you grab your dog sometimes to look at it right in the face to talk to it? They probably looked right at that lamb and they looked at the level of the eyes and the nose and everything. They examined it for perfection. At the same time that was going on, the Sanhedrin and others had gathered and they were doing the same thing to Jesus. They were questioning Him. They were looking at Him. And by their tactics of skepticism and doubt, and let's be honest, there was hatred in that as well. They wanted Him dead. Not for the same reason why we're glad He died. They wanted Him dead so that they would never see Him again. Little did they know, it was a borrowed tomb He would use that weekend. But they wanted Him done. He had threatened their professional religion. Jesus presents himself. Think about it. He presents himself this week approved. Listen, he said, everything I've said nothing in secret. Don't you love that? You want to talk about a transparent leadership? Jesus said, everything I've said publicly. And the nation had a chance to watch him and listen to him. The Bible tells us that the Messiah would be recognized. Isaiah 35 tells us that you'll be able to know who he is. He'll open the eyes of the blind. Did Jesus do that? In fact, not only did he do it, listen, even his greatest detractors, the ones who hated him, even admitted his miracles are top-notch. Remember when he said that he was the I Am, the Ego Eimi. He said, why do you pick up stones to kill me? For the miracles I've done? And you could see them, oh, they're in the windup. It's like they're on the mound and they're like this and they stop right there. No, the miracles are fantastic. We love the miracles. The miracles are great miracles. We're going to stone you because you, being a man, declared yourself to be God. This was the Lamb. Those questions and that interrogation had to happen. If there would have been a flaw in our Jesus, they would have flushed it out. I'm so grateful for them, really. Little did they know they were fulfilling prophecy, though. They were looking for lambs while the Lamb stood in front of them. And Jesus had told the disciples before he left the Galilee, as they began to pull up the pegs of the tents or whatever to head down to Jerusalem, the Bible says that he would set his face like flint to Jerusalem. And as they were going, he told the disciples, I go to Jerusalem and I will be betrayed. I'll be arrested. I'll be scourged. I'll be beaten. And I'll be killed, but on the third day, I'll be raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that they didn't get it. It didn't click with them. Everything's working according to plan. Listen, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel, are you guys okay standing up? You want to sit down? You can stand or you can sit. You can do whatever you want to do. But you have to listen. Exodus tells us, Exodus 12, listen to this. I love how it escalates and it goes personal. Listen, Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel and say, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. A lamb. According to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. That would have been a minimum of 10 people. If you didn't have 10, you'd invite somebody in until you reached the number 10. And if the household is too small the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, I love it. Listen to the progression. Your lamb. So it goes a lamb, the lamb. Now it's your lamb. You can have a religion. You can have the religion. But unless you have your lamb, you ain't got no religion. You just have what? Notice it's personal. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. There was the sign. Now, I don't know. I've heard this. I've read this in some really great commentaries. Don't know if it's true, but I want it to be true. That when you take blood and put it on the doorpost, that's the uprights, the vertical portion of your door, and that lintel portion is the top, so it's splattered on the top, on the side, on the side. I want to either see blood drip from the top down to the threshold, or maybe there's just blood dripping from that applicator. But if you look at it, it's the shape of a cross, is it not? I find it interesting that when you count up, go home and do your homework on this. When you count up all the tribes of Israel in the wilderness, it gives you the exact number of the tribes, who they are, their exact numbers, and how they're clumped together. And when you do that and you lay it out, do a little model, seriously, with little alphabet blocks. Lay it out. And then stand up and look down on the floor of what you just did, and it's the shape of a perfect cross. Albert Barnes tells us that when they would put the burnt offering on to the burning fire, that they would take, now this is graphic, but they would take a lamb and they would take a stave, a stake, and they would put it through the hinder part, through the animal's, it's dead, don't worry, it's dead at this point. They would put it through the animal and out through the lamb's jaw here, through the mouth, and then through behind the armpits all the way through to the other armpit, and the priest would pick it up and carry it over. Erdesheim talks about this as well, and they would place it on the burning altar as a burnt offering. And Erdesheim points out that if you raised up that as it's prescribed in Leviticus, you've got a lamb crucified on a cross. Could it be? Exodus 12:27 says, "It is the Passover sacrifice for the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, it says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You see, it's not bread. Those things are types. Do you understand that? And then finally, John. Let's remember, as again, we were talking to our Jewish friends. I asked my one friend, I said, "Have you ever read the New Testament?" "No." I said, "Did you know it's written by a bunch of Jewish guys?" And he said, "No." So we turned to Matthew. Matthew Levi is his name, right? Yeah. Matthew Levy. But there's another good Jew. John the Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist. He didn't go to the Baptist church. It was John the Baptist. And remember, Jesus said concerning the greatest of all, it was John. And John, in John 1:29, John says, on the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You think of that now. So listen, we'll sing a couple songs, and we'll begin to wrap this up. We'll sing a few more songs, and then we'll have, and I'll let the cat out of the bag right now, or the toothpaste out of the tube. When we get done here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to either rededicate your life to Christ tonight. I can't think of a greater time. Or for some of you tonight, maybe it's clicked in the worship, in the song, in the word, that tonight's the night for you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Because as I said to some friends, I so say to you, what are you doing about your sins? The answer of a friend of mine will not do. I'm being as good as I can. Great intentions, tremendous sincerity. But I ask you this, if that's good enough, then why did Jesus die? When we're done with this next set of songs in worship, I'm going to ask you to make a decision for Jesus Christ before it's too late. You think. Let's worship Him. As we conclude, you make a decision. If the end comes, where will you be? This life is a gift given every day for you to decide to honor God. And it's time for some of you, perhaps tonight, to stop honoring yourself and to start honoring God by putting your faith in Him. Remember, He will wipe away your sins. He will put His Holy Spirit in your life. He will write His law upon your heart. And you will arise from this night and you will live a different life, not by effort, but by Him living through you. Let's worship Him with all of our heart. And so tonight we end this Wednesday service of Passion Week, and we head toward a Good Friday service and then Resurrection morning. And my friend, tonight I need to challenge you. You need to be challenged. Because as Christians, our faith is founded upon fact. And I plead with you tonight. I lovingly argue with you tonight. I beg of you tonight, will you stop? Will you slow down long enough to consider what is true? A moment ago, Marty sang from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Did you know that that was written regarding Jesus 743 years before He was born? Now, tonight, where you sit, it's nearly 3,000-year-old prophecy, and this is one of many, many hundreds and hundreds written of Him in the Bible. That the Jesus that we invite you to know tonight is the resurrected Jesus. His resurrection turned a polytheistic, world-ruling empire, Rome, upside down. Did you know that? Did you know that you signed important documents today, or you looked at your computer and it was dated the 16th? Of April today, 2014, because of Christ having been born and risen from the dead. Did you know that? Did you know that the name Jesus is the most cursed name out of mouths of blasphemers around the world? And it's the most praised name out of believers' mouths around the world? It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's Jesus. Did you know the Bible tells us that it's the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father? And in that moment, when all time and eternity bows the knee, did you know that there'll be those who will bow their knee because that's what they did in life, and they'll be happy to do it in eternity because they were happy to do it here on earth? And then there'll be those who will bow their knee in eternity, but they never bowed their knee here on earth. And they all will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 12, and the Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 20, that there'll be those who will say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it will be too late. They will be carted away into the kingdom of darkness that they demanded that they spend forever in. God sent His Son to go to the cross so you wouldn't have to die and inherit hell, that you might have heaven. But it requires this, that you receive tonight the Passover Lamb. That tonight you put your sin, your wrong, your lying, your adultery, or your fornication, or your pride, or your violence, or whatever it is. Even if you've never physically done those things, if you thought one thought, we're guilty. But Jesus came. And tonight you need to publicly acknowledge him. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. It may seem as though Nicodemus came secretly, but you remember at his death, at Jesus' death, Nicodemus was there. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took the body down from the cross. Nicodemus came out in his faith of Christ. And Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Can you do that now while it's easy? You say, I'll wait. You have no guarantee you'll see the sunrise tomorrow. You might say, well, I'll pick a more opportune time. Yeah, you know what? In Caesarea, Felix and the Roman leadership said, you know, Paul, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. Don't be tonight almost a Christian. I'm going to ask you tonight that you would get up from your seat and you would come forward right here, right now to either rededicate your life to Jesus or to accept Christ for the first time tonight. Tonight's the night. Today is the day that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He took your place, your punishment, mine too. And then on that resurrection morning, he rose again from the grave and he shattered. Think of it. He shattered that thing that causes you to fear, and that is death, and that is darkness, and that is what happens after I breathe my last. Jesus broke it. But you must come to him. All those who acknowledge him, Jesus said, to them gave he power to become sons of God. As Marty sings this last song, will you come forward and will you line up right here? And I'll lead you in a prayer in a moment. But you come and you start afresh. You can get a brand new life tonight because God gives us second, third, fourth, fifth chances at life. And it's time for you to get a new life. So you come forward tonight. Don't let anyone keep you from coming. There's one hand that you'll hold in eternity and it will be Jesus's. Not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife. Take his hand now. Bow your knee while you can. You come forward as we sing this song. You come now. I think it's awesome that you're bowing your knee tonight like this to make your confession of faith in Jesus. And I want you to know something right now tonight. Some of you may have feelings going on right now. Some of you may not have any feelings going on right now. I want you to know the Bible makes it very clear. It has nothing to do with feelings. It's all about the decision that you've made. Our God is a God of logic and reason. Isn't that great? I'm not saying that he didn't give us feelings. He gave us feelings. But feelings can trick us, can they not? We can get excited about something and then tomorrow not be excited about it. Tonight, the decision that you're making is based upon God's promises. You're putting your faith in his promises. And our faith is founded upon fact. And about a few moments, you're going to pray a prayer, and it may seem like a simple prayer, but I want to remind you, our God is alive, and he listens, and he takes this seriously. The Bible tells us that when one person comes to Christ, angels in heaven rejoice. You think of that for a moment, the reality of it all. But your identity is about to change. Whatever you have been associated with or have been recognized by, oh, that's Susie, she is blank. Or that's Bill, he is blank. I want you to know that from this moment on, the Bible says that you are about to be positioned in Christ. From now on, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, says the Bible. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The powers that have once bound you to this moment will be loosened in a minute. Because now you will belong to God. And watch what he does. The Bible says your citizenship will be in heaven. How cool is that? The word is actually in the Greek politic. You ever heard that word before? What's your politic? In a moment, you're going to become a monarchist. Did you know that? Well, I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. Well, that's fine. But the truth is, you're going to be a monarchist in a moment. Meaning that you believe in a king. And his name is Jesus. And he said, if anyone comes to me, I will in no wise turn them away. I was going through security coming home from Israel. And then there in Tel Aviv, the agent took my passport and swiped it. And a little beep went off and she looked at me and she said, is this your passport? I said, yes. She swiped it again. And she said, how long have you had this passport? I've had it. It's mine. It swipes it again. It's still rejected. The passport says it's not me. Then she calls for some supervisor, and the supervisor walks over and looks at me and looks at the passport and does something with it and says, you're good to go. That's pretty scary. Think about it. Something in the system wasn't recognizing my name. Tonight, as you call out to Jesus, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will never be forgotten. So pray with me right now. Those of you who are here, pray. Let these words fall from your lips. Dear Lord, I come to you tonight and I receive you as my lamb, as my sacrifice, as the one who forgives me of all my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross and having been risen from the dead. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen.